Good morning. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Dear fellow students of the Word, do you ever find yourself thinking, what a waste? What a waste of time, or what a waste of money? What a waste of my efforts? I'm sure we can all think of something, maybe even already this week. Today in our text, we see something that on the surface seems like a huge waste. What Mary did for Jesus here seems over the top, unnecessary, an extreme waste. Consider the value, 300 denarii. From other places in Scripture, we learn that a denarii is equal to one day's wage for the common worker. So let's do a little bit of quick math. There are 312 days available in the year to work. 52 weeks in the year times 6 days, because you don't work on the Sabbath. So 312 days. So what we're talking about here in value is almost an entire year's worth of wages. And Mary pours this all out just in one shot. Certainly, it was a shock. Mark and Matthew, in their telling of this same event, describe that all of the disciples were shocked by this. But John points to one disciple in particular that was shocked. Of course, this was Judas. Judas exclaims in our text, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" If we take a step back and look at it for a second, doesn't Judas have a point here? I mean, doesn't it seem like an incredible waste on the part of Mary? Wouldn't you think that if Mary had listened at all to what Jesus had been talking about throughout his whole ministry, that the best thing Mary could have done was to take this and sell it and give to the poor? Jesus spoke often about taking care of each other, and particularly talking about taking care of the poor. In Luke 12:33, Jesus instructs his disciples to sell their possessions and give to the poor. In Luke 18:22, Jesus tells the rich young ruler to sell all that he has and give to the poor and to follow Jesus. And of course, this giving to the poor wasn't what Judas was really concerned about. In the next verse, we learn that Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Notice from our text how quickly he had already calculated how much this perfume was worth, and no doubt he had already calculated how much of it he was going to take for himself. How could Jesus have allowed such a person to follow after him? Well, it was prophesied that one of his close companions would betray him. Psalm 41:9 says, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." But seriously, you want to talk about a waste? What about Judas? What a waste of a person. Now, I don't think Judas hated Jesus. You can see that from the remorse that he felt when he realized what he had done, when he realized that he had betrayed Jesus over to death. But certainly, following Jesus was not the primary concern of Judas. So why did he follow after Jesus? Well, we don't know for sure, but maybe Judas thought that he was getting in on the ground floor of something big. He had heard Jesus' teachings. He saw the powerful miracles. He saw how he baffled all of the religious teachers of the day. And maybe along with many of the Jews of that day, he thought that Jesus was the one who was going to gather all of the people together and overthrow the Roman government and establish a kingdom here on earth. By following Jesus, Judas certainly then would have a big role in this new kingdom that Jesus was going to establish. But as Judas listened and observed Jesus, it became more and more apparent that Jesus wasn't talking about an earthly kingdom. He wasn't going to set up the throne of David again. Instead, he talked increasingly about pain and suffering and death. He focused more on moral issues and spiritual issues than on issues of things on this earth. Obviously, this isn't what Judas was looking for. And this event that we see in our text here, it seems like it was the last straw. Right after this event, in Matthew and Mark's telling of this, we see that from this point, Judas sought to betray Jesus. Of course, we know how the story ends for Judas. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He never got to enjoy it, though. His faith had died, if he ever had faith at all, but his conscience had not, and so he was tormented by what he'd done, and so he tried to return this money. But it didn't work. He wasn't able to return the money and get Jesus back. Jesus, of course, was crucified. Judas, in his remorse and his shame, went out and hanged himself. We say it's a tragedy, but even more so when we look at the irony. Jesus offered everything that Judas wanted, but Judas never saw it. Judas wanted the things of this earth. He wanted all the fame, the fortune, the social approval, the prestige. Jesus offered him lasting fame as one of the 12 disciples, the friendship of angels, the love of God. Judas wanted a position worthy of his talents. Jesus offered to make him a child of God, a steward of the mysteries of God. Judas wanted security and wealth. Jesus offered him eternal life and endless riches in heaven. When we look back on Judas with sadness, not because of what he did to Jesus, but because of what he did to himself, we look back with a certain degree of contempt, but I think that all disappears when we see ourselves along with Judas. Because how often have we been more focused on what this world has to offer us than on what we already have through Christ? How often have we been more concerned about our things, our time, our friendships, whatever else we spend all of our time and energy on, our money on? We find it easy, like Jesus, to look like Judas, to look for the world's benefits, forgetting what Jesus has already given to us. And so, looking to earth, we ignore heaven. What a waste we are! Fortunately, God doesn't leave us in that condition. By His grace, we leave the way of Judas for Jesus. We have security. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? We have peace. Jesus says in John 14, my peace I give you. We have the strength of knowing that God is on our side. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We have love and comfort with our Savior. Jesus died burdened with Judas's sin and with our sins. He suffered the punishment for Judas's sins and for our sins. He died in Judas's place and in our place. He paid the full cost of redemption for Judas and for us. In the end, Judas got nothing because he didn't see Christ's blessings or trust in him. Thank God that he has created that faith in us to trust in him. Because what Jesus did on the cross for us was anything but a waste. He shed his blood for us. And won for us forgiveness of sins. He won for us eternal life. So that as we trust in him, we can be assured that these promises are for us. May his Holy Spirit enable us to always trust in him, because in him we truly have everything. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn 179.